From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Acid is building up in Florida's waters, threatening the organisms living within them. Humans release carbon dioxide by burning fossil fuels, and that CO2 dissolves into the ocean. It's making corals grow more slowly, causing them to build reefs more slowly too. We'll talk about how ocean acidification is affecting the state's waters and what's being done about it. Plus, recent economic indicators point to a healthy and growing economy here in Southwest Florida. We'll explore results of the latest market trends update from Land Solutions, along with recent findings from the Regional Economic Research Institute here at Florida Gulf Coast University. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be taking a closer look at the current status of Southwest Florida's economy and projections for the future. The most recent data indicates our region's economy is experiencing a continued trend of positive growth. Statewide, the unemployment rate decreased another 0.2% in July, down to 5.4%. Other economic indicators, such as taxable sales and demand for goods and building materials, also point to healthy growth. And, of course, real estate and land development are significant indicators and drivers of the local economy. The Fort Myers-based full-service real estate company Land Solutions Incorporated recently came out with its second-quarter market trends update. Joining me now for a look at what that data reveals is land sales and development expert Randy Thibault. He's Land Solutions president, CEO, and founder. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we're also joined by Florida Gulf Coast University economics professor, Dr. Bradley Hobbs. He's the BBT Professor of Free Enterprise and a member of the teaching faculty for the Foundation for Teaching Economics, and is also involved in seminars with the Liberty Fund. Dr. Hobbs, thanks for your time today as well.
Happy to be here.
I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with our guests with your phone calls to 1-877 GCU Talk. That's 877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments or questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or follow the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Randy, let's start with you. You know, before we start wading into any minutia here, first, tell us a little bit about your company, Land Solutions. What's the scope of services provided?
Land Solutions is a real estate brokerage company, but we do specialize in market research. We track the market in detail, pulse of the market, permits, land development, land prices, trends. We look out not only current past records, but also where we're heading over the next 12 to 14 months. We buy land, sell land, and develop land.
All right. And who are your clients? Is it, you know, folks looking to buy, folks looking to sell, or, you know, really just across the board?
It's across the board, but the bulk of our clients are home builders, developers, and we represent equity firms who now are the financiers of land and new projects these days.
And can you tell us a bit about the breadth of your own experience, you know, working in the local real estate industry?
Well, my experience is I've been here 20 years in many capacities as a home builder for a national home building company, a land developer, entitlement, getting zonings for properties, and brokering over $1 billion worth of real estate here in Southwest Florida.
All right. And in addition to working directly with clients, do you continue to provide like presentations and information for, you know, local industry groups like local building industry associations?
We do. We put out a quarterly report called Market Trends for the building and land development industry on a quarterly basis that gives accurate information on where the market's going and been. I'm also a presenter on the News Press Market Watch, which is held every February, and also the Lee BIA and Collier BIA Market Trends held every November.
And geographically, what's the scope of you know, Land Solutions data and analysis here? Is it primarily Lee and Collier counties, or does it extend to the larger Southwest Florida area as well?
We focus on Southwest Florida from Sarasota down to Naples, and that's where most of our all of our analysis is done, on the entire region rather than on a specific. We do go into the specifics of each county, but we look at it on a region.
All right. And I read what you had wrote recently regarding the status of the local real estate market regarding this second quarter market watch update. And you had written, quote, "There is a saying we've all heard that perception is reality. That's not necessarily true when it comes to the current state of the Southwest Florida market for new homes and land, end quote. Tell us a bit what you mean by that. What is perception and how is reality perhaps different?
Well, the perception out there in the market, in our we have builders, developers, and financiers in our conference room every day. And what we see is the perception of the market is that we are going gangbusters, headed for 2005, and that there's no end to it. We're going to continue to experience double-digit growth. However, the reality is, the facts behind it, although we have great successes over the last 36 months, the reality is it's not as gangbusters as we might think it is.
So you're saying even though we might be continuing to experience double-digit growth, in the long term it's not sustainable?
It's not sustainable. And I think this time around versus what happened in 2005 and 6, where we got caught up in the buzz of what was really an unsustainable and unfounded market, we're now in a position where we really are in a sustainable market if we understand that it is a sustainable market and that we don't let greed kick in and take us to a place where we were at before. There's a lot of dynamics in the market that probably won't let that happen, primarily due to the fact that there's not a market for institutional financing and unbridled lending activity out there. There's a lot more controls on that. There's not a lot of flippers and investors lining up to buy properties. However, without keeping things in check, we could run into some problems here with the perception of where our market is versus the facts of where we're at. And the facts are good. They're just not where I think most people think they really are.
But in terms of what we experienced with the burst of the housing bubble, I know nobody wants to experience that again. But, I mean, is there a concern that we could experience some sort of collective amnesia when it comes to the conditions that created that?
It's amazing how easily people do forget where we've been, particularly those that this time around in the construction and land development business here in Southwest Florida. There's a lot of new faces. A lot of the faces that went through the crash are either moved or retired, and there's a lot of new faces. And that optimism that there's no end to it and that we can continue double-digit growth like we have the last 36 months is unfounded.
And what's driving, new development in the real estate market now? Is it residential? Is it commercial? Or a good mix of both?
Well, you're starting to see commercial pick up. Obviously, commercial construction follows the rooftops of new housing. And it's been slow out of the hole. There's still a lot of distress in the commercial markets. There's still a lot of vacancy. And there's some time to catch up. However, in the residential market, from 2008 up through 2011, there was pretty much stagnant. There wasn't a whole lot of new housing inventory built and then therefore sold. However, about the third quarter of 2011 to 12, we started a annual growth in double-digit numbers of new housing. There's a lot of reasons why that growth happened so quickly, which I'll be glad to share if you're interested.
Sure.
However, the where we're at today is that we've experienced three solid years of double-digit growth, and we've come back to a sustainable number. However, it's important to note that we have just reached the levels in Southwest Florida for building permits, and that's single-family and multifamily. We've just reached 2,000 levels. So we're far from knocking it out of the park.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, in terms of who's buying, I remember when we had spoken, and this was a few years ago, I know, but at that time I remember you emphasizing that it was really investors who were driving a lot of the new purchases. Is that still the case, or is it folks really looking to move into a home?
Well, it's entirely not the case.
Okay.
The investors have – there was a phase in this market, and that's what really accelerated the double-digit growth. When there was vulture buying going on, when the banks hit the distress, that was 2009 and 10 and some of 11, where you could buy things, buy homes, land, et cetera, for pennies on the dollar. That brought a lot of vulture buyers, investors, and some cash buyers that were home buyers out in the market and created a huge surge in sales. However, that when that investment opportunity to buy at highly discounted prices ended somewhere around 24 months ago, the volume cut back considerably.
All right. We're exploring the current status of and future projections for Southwest Florida's real estate market and overall economy with Land Solutions' Randy Thibeau, along with FGCU economics professor Dr. Brad Hobbs. I invite listeners to connect with our guests and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And Randy, the Fort Myers Cape Coral area in particular in recent years has stood out regarding a lack of needed affordable housing. Do you think that's still a significant issue, and what kind of impact does that have on the growth of the real estate industry?
It's a huge impact, and this really wasn't on our radar till about 18 months ago, until houses started surging in price. Once we hit a point where there wasn't heavily discounted product homes and that builders weren't selling homes to new home buyers for literally below cost because they were able to acquire land so cheaply and pass that on, the buyer wasn't really paying the true cost. So those first-time home buyers and first move-up buyers, our workforce had an opportunity to buy new homes, and the homes they could afford. Primarily, 80% of the permits pulled in Lee County, for example, are under $200,000. That's first-time move-up type housing. However, we've now passed that, and so finding a $200,000 new home is getting very difficult, if not impossible. Therefore, you saw the surge that they're experiencing in apartments. We're seeing apartments off the charts because people either can't get the financing, don't have the down payment, or have been priced out of the market and are forced back into apartment living.
Okay. So basically what you're telling me is if I was looking to buy a home right now, I might have missed the boat for the best
opportunity. I think there's still some opportunities out there. And, of course, home ownership is still very important to our economy and to our nation. However, the idea of buying a home for 50 cents on the dollar is over, and it's becoming very difficult to find a home under $200,000. Therefore, the North Cape, Lehigh, and other areas out east are starting to become very attractive to home buyers again, mm-hmm. to be able to find a home in that price range between $200,000 and $300,000.
And what about for those looking to sell a home? Is this a pretty advantageous time, or would you encourage folks to maybe wait? The values are just going to go up.
Well, I would. I think right now is the time to sell. Yeah. If you're a seller, it's time to sell. There's a lot of greed out there in the market. Sellers who have high expectations and feel that their properties are sometimes worth more than they are. Due to that point we started off with, perception. Their perception is it's unbridled growth. However, we're about ready to head into some slowdown. And I'm not talking about a crash. I'm talking about the fact that we're going to see a leveling off of building permits and activity. And therefore, I think those who sell now are going to be happy with their sale and will appreciate later on that they didn't move their properties.
Right. What about new development in terms of how it impacts the construction industry? Again, referring to conversations we've had in years past, I know one lingering challenge had been, folks leaving the area or just getting into some line of work that involved another skill set and just finding, a lack of skilled workers available in the local area for new construction. Is that still a challenge for folks here, or have we kind of overcome that?
No, it's actually a bigger challenge than we've ever experienced.
Really?
Yeah, this time around, in 2004 through 6, we had an abundance of labor. It was still challenging because the builders and developers were fighting over each other's labor. It was raising labor rates, which was good for the employees. However, at the crash, we lost a great deal of our workforce. They moved out of the area into other areas, other skills. Then the market came back abruptly, and we have much fewer subcontractors and vendors. So therefore, the price of labor and goods has gone up to the point where we have a very difficult time. We are clearly in a shortage of labor, and therefore it's driving the price of homes and materials up significantly.
And can you maybe give us some projections about what we might expect as we head towards 2016?
I can. I would first reference the fact, giving a little bit of background of perspective. In the year 2000, which was a sustainable market in Southwest Florida, Lee, Collier, and Charlotte counties, our area pulled around 10,000 building permits, sustainable market. We hit 2005 at 45,000 permits. which was unsustainable. We dropped down to, in 2007 and 8, levels of 900 to 1,000 permits, almost non-existent new home construction. The good news is from 2009 to now, we've now gotten back to around, we expect this year we'll end up around 11,000 building permits, which is good. And if we maintain that it's sustainable and we can produce homes and we can keep our employees busy. My concern is that the perception out there is that it's never ending. And we may be seeing some overbuilding. We may see some areas that you see new developments going in the ground. They're going to be challenging to see sales absorptions that they need. The upcoming season is going to be real important this year for builders because years past, there's been a shortage of homes. Now there's not. There's plenty of inventory out there. So this season will be the proof in the pudding as to what it's going to look like for the next of next year for 2016.
All right. And just taking a little step back from the real estate market itself, I know for many folks, Southwest Florida is synonymous with tourism. It's really seen as our primary economic driver. But, you know, can we really, you know, overstate the importance of a healthy real estate market for here or for any region?
Well, there's no way we can overstate it. Clearly, the real estate, construction industry, land business is our driving force of the economy and our jobs. However, I am hopeful that in the future that is not the case. We need to have a much more diversified economy and job base because in order to attract more home buyers, not just the tourists, we need to have more jobs. Hertz is a nice dent in it, but we need much more like that to attract the kind of buyers that we need to afford the homes that we're producing.
All right. I invite listeners to join our conversation. We're taking a closer look at the current status of and future projections for Southwest Florida's economy. We're talking with land sales and development expert Randy Thibault with Land Solutions Incorporated, along with FGCU Professor of Economics, Dr. Brad Hobbs. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or follow the live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Dr. Hobbs, economics professor with Florida Gulf Coast University. I think I'd mentioned earlier the news press had recently conducted an analysis with data from the Florida Department of Revenue and kind of looking at a wide variety of indicators showing that Southwest Florida's economy was, in their words, robust. Is that what we're seeing?
Well, I think there's certainly, in relative terms, which is how you think about these things, been quite a bit of growth lately. I mean, the thing that I'm concerned about is the same thing that Randy brought up in the sense that we tend to have short memories. Mm-hmm. As my friend Jack, the third time he got married, I said, is this the triumph of hope over experience? And to some extent, this has been going on forever. We can read Charles Kinderberger's book on bubbles, on speculative bubbles. He starts with the 16th century Dutch tulip bulb craze. And the same thing happens here. I've been around long enough to remember the stock tech crash in my early career when students in a principles of economics course started to ask me about how to day trade. I moved to cash because I knew the blood was coming. And the same thing happens in real estate markets. When you see real estate markets that have a long-term historical growth rate in the mid 5% range, give or take a percentage, depends on who's measuring how and over what period. When you hit double digits, I always get an eyebrow up because things don't grow at over double digits over sustained periods of time without collapsing. But this is simply part of human psychology. It's part of the way that people pile on in markets, and I don't think it's a good thing to forget that.
Mm. And then that double-digit growth, you know, when we were just chatting just a little bit in the hall before we got the show started, I believe, Randy, you had mentioned that, like, what was it, over a 50-year period, a 3 to 4% growth rate?
Overall, if you look back that far.
Wow. And that's over 50 years. So if we're seeing double digits, we know it's not going to last.
That is 100%.
And particularly when it follows year after year. I mean, it's one thing to see a good year. It's probably another thing to see a second good year. But when you compound 3, 4, or 5 years of this sort of thing, I remember looking at the Lee County numbers one time. And as I recall, my house had gone up over 30% in a year. And I said, this is just insane. There's no way that there's a sustainable price here. Mm-hmm. But the nature of demand is that expectations drive demand, and people form these expectations that are far too rosy, and they really don't, I don't think, have a sense of long-term perspectives. Now, that's not to say that you can't make good business decisions inside of that environment. You just have to be the one that keeps your head. I mean, one of the things that I think was very good in some sense about this crash, and I used to say this in my class talking to students, is that there were a lot of businesses out there that really weren't run very well, but they were able to make it because they could generate revenues enough to make it, and they didn't pay enough attention to costs. And over time, when you have a shakeout like this, those home builders and those construction companies and those real estate developers and those people like Randy that survived are people that are of a stronger fiber. In the sense that they probably knew how to run a business. They probably were able to address the cost structures early on or not let them get out of hand. So I think that there's a lot that just running a business well can do. And when you get into a shakeout, there's a sort of a natural tendency for the people to be left in the room at the end of it are people who run businesses quite well.
All right. And I know that some of your colleagues with the Luckert College of Business here at FGCU are involved with the Regional Economic Research Institute, and they've been putting out data. Can you maybe give us some highlights from
the
most recent?
Sure. We have Gary Jackson, who some of you may know, served us for a very long time and did an absolutely fantastic job. Gary has retired, and I know for a fact that he's fishing because we're going next weekend.
All right.
So he's enjoying his retirement. And our replacement for Gary is a fellow named Chris Wesley. Chris came out of Jackson, Mississippi. He's got his feet into the stirrups, and he's riding the horse now. And he's done a good job of continuing the work that Gary did in reorganizing somewhat. But he produces a report from the RERI of the Luckert College of Business. And one of the things that I noted in the last report that he sent to us, he sends this out to all the faculty, and I take a quick look at it each time, is that housing prices increased about 5%. That's for the 20-city composite index. One of the things that's kind of hard about Southwest Florida is it's such a unique market. When you have demanders who are at the essentially retirement age and at the top of their portfolio as far as wealth and net wealth, you have a different kind of animal than you do in a traditional housing market. I remember one time having a discussion with Dr. Shelton Weeks, who's a real estate person, our real estate person inside the college, and he told me how many houses were bought by cash in Naples. And I was just stunned because that's not a typical market. So in some sense, we have a very odd market here, particularly that niche market of our winter visitors, and they're very important to us. So that may be something that also we would be buffeted more by stock market or asset price crashes than other places, because a lot of that is held in those sorts of assets.
All right. Well, Dr. Hobbs, once again, the time has gotten away from me. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Are there any final thoughts you'd want to leave with our listeners or projections for the future?
I would say that in the 90s, we went through a period of trying to move home affordability and home ownership up. We went from about 64% to 68%. And I would say that after the crash, we're back to 64%. So I would ask about how well did that actually work, and what were the ramifications and byproducts of that particular policy action?
All right. And Randy, final word.
Final word is that, as the word would be expectations. When I reference expectations, you asked me earlier, is this a good time to buy? I think that we still have great buys here in Southwest Florida. It's a great place to live. But it's the expectations of our buyers, instead of thinking that their home is a stock that's going to double in value every year. We have to go back to the basics that your home, if you buy a home and you live in the home and you can sell it and you can get your money back, that was housing, not that it's an investment vehicle to double your money every 6 months.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. But thanks so much to our guests, Randy Thibault and Brad Hobbs. I appreciate having you both in studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Randy Thibault is president, CEO, and founder of the Fort Myers-based Land Solutions Incorporated, and Dr. Brad Homs is a professor of economics here at Florida Gulf Coast University. There's more information on the show, as well as an archive of past shows at our website, wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. To comment on anything you've heard on this or any edition of the program, send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Thanks to my co-host Jessica Mazaros and our producers Luke Martin and Richard Chinqui. This is WGCU-FM 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.